Hello and welcome to the Lads, Dads and a Couple of Beers podcast, where you'll find like-minded fellas talking all things mental health, what it's like to be a father and being a man in modern day society. We've got some cracking guests coming up in the first series of the podcast, from like-minded chats with fellas like myself, Dave and Ollie, keynote professional speakers and a couple of cheeky celebrities chucked in along the way. This episode is sponsored by Miami Fox Apparel, the eco-friendly clothing brand with a nostalgic nod to the 80s. Be sure to go and check them out on their Instagram, which is at Miami Fox Apparel, using the hashtag Become a Fox. Now, with all that said and done, let's crack on with this week's episode. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Lads, Dads and a Couple of Beers with myself, Big Al, and my sexy co-host,
Dave Haddam. I love the fact that I'm sexy again this week.
Yeah, well, I felt bad last week because I compared you to Kell Brook, who's a boxer, instead of Kelly Brook.
No, mate, I don't look like Kelly Brook either.
You don't look like Kell Brook?
No, definitely not.
Oh, dear. How you doing, mate? How you been this week?
I'm okay, pal. How are you?
I'm good. Right, let's start with what we need to start with. The Beverage Genies.
Who's going first?
You go first this week.
Okay. So I have got... I've got a Hepcat from the lovely people at Gypsy Hill. It's a session IPA. All right. Don't be IPA-ist. It's a 330 mil can. I'm just trying to find a percentage on it. I can't seem to find a percentage on it. It's 4.6%. So it's a can. Here we go. I'll have a little slurp of that. It's a bit frothy. That is a thing of beauty.
I've gone for a bit of a throwback, right? I've gone for a Miller Genuine Draft.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, I haven't got a bottle opener, so I'm going to use the
fuse box.
Use the Allen Cars.
Oh, lovely. What fantastic pop.
We've got the village.
Getting a bit excited.
Cool, yeah, that did. That went up, that did.
Oh.
Cool, blowing a little chug-a-rooney. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. So how's things?
Yeah, good, good, very good. So I need to tell you about last week's saga. So you remember last week when I said, well, I've got a throwback beer?
Yeah.
I've had a real Lionel Blair with it. Right.
Okay.
So I thought I was drinking Carlsberg Export.
Well, that's what you said. Yeah, you're drinking a can of Carlsberg Export.
And if you remember last week as well, I spoke about my eye condition, which ironically... Oh, God. It's led me a bit of trouble because...
Were you really drinking then?
I woke up the next day and I felt like shit. Like, honestly, I felt like I'd been hit by a fucking train. So okay. I had a look in the recycling bin the next day. Mate, it was Special Brew. And I had about four cans of it.
Mate, and you were saying you're not that alky down the shops. Are you sure you're not that alky down the shops?
And I was that alky down the shops. But look... what can I say? First time for everything. So,
yeah, man.
My first experience on a podcast.
I don't think I've ever had a special brew.
To be honest with you, it weren't that bad. And this
apart
is
from you felt ropey in the morning.
Well, no, I mean, I felt like death, but you know, I've got the burps as well. You've got the burps.
Yeah, that one just hit me a bit.
Yeah, me as well. No, I did feel like shite, but I went to, when I went to Morrison's like late in the afternoon, I was like, oh, do I get one?
What did all the winos outside know your name then? All right, Alex.
Yeah.
Come and sit on the bench.
You coming into the park today?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So what else you been up to?
Just nothing really. Just it's half term and it's
half term. Yeah.
Bit of a break for the kids. Again, another embarrassing situation earlier happened. So I was sitting watching a film, and the film's called King of Staten Island or something like that. I don't know if you've seen it. Many people haven't.
No.
So I'm playing it and watching it, and then the door's gone. The old Ring doorbell's gone. And I was like, who's that? Got up and opened the door, and it was Connor's teacher, just like bringing some stuff around. But all of a sudden, like, I had the TV on quite loud. This graphic sex scene kicked into gear. And is that like I was like organising some sort of like orgy in my front room?
Mate, it's not one of your special films, is it?
No, it wasn't. And this is the thing.
I haven't got a smart TV downstairs, so I won't watch anything I shouldn't have been. Unless it was some unedited Babe Station going on. No, and that, I know for a fact that doesn't come until about 11:30. So, what about you, mate? How you been?
Yeah, I've been all right, pal. I want to talk about something before we bring our guest on.
It's not really a guest this week, though, is it?
It's not really a guest. It's one of my best friends. So
yeah, we'll bring
him on in a bit, and we'll have a decent chat, like kicking it back to our roots of lads, dads, and a few beers.
Yeah, we felt it was important this week. Just like we've hit you with quite a lot of celebs and a lot of sort of insights and stuff, but we did want to bring it back to the trueness of the podcast and say, look, let's just got a normal gazer on who's wants to open up and talk about his mental health. And I think, to be honest, that like, I know Leon as well, not as well as you, but. We've shared the terraces a few times fully. I can see you on the camera. He's making me laugh. so yeah, it'll be good because I think we're going to have a chat, and it's probably going to be the first time we've all spoken about this topic together.
So I tell you what, rather than me starting wittering on about the thing that I want to talk about, let's bring him on, and we'll all have a chat together about it because it's well in the media and it's probably worth a little gas bag about. So I'll do the introductions this week. So our guest this week is a really good friend of mine. He's been one of my best friends for the past 26 odd years, which is really scary. He hit the big 4-0 just before Christmas, so I have to get that in there before he comes on, because so he don't shout at me. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, and Mr. Leon Eakins.
Hello.
How are you, pal? You all right?
I'm all good. Yeah, I'm all good. I'm honoured to come on with a sort of ant and deck of the podcast world.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Basically, Alex, he's saying you've got a massive forehead.
But I haven't, though. You're the one who ain't got no hair, mate.
Mate, I'm all forehead.
Exactly.
Leon, we have to ask all our guests. Have you got a beer ready?
Bloody better do.
I have, yes. I have decided to go with a Desperado.
Wow. Oh. Wow. Oh. No? On a school night as well.
On a school night, yeah.
Well. It's not actually a school night.
I know, because I know you're on leave till Monday.
Yeah, indeed.
Wow, party then. it's a Thursday night.
I found that out because one of my mates works at the same place you did, and he looked you up. He said, oh, yeah, he's on leave till Monday.
But are you actually kidding me?
No.
We have our spies. We've got our spies everywhere, pal.
That's unbelievable.
What, you got a bottle? Is it a bottle or a can or what?
It's a bottle, and I've got one of these newfangled... zippy the bottle zapper openers,
yeah,
as well. So just
gone in, very posh. What's it like, mate? Give us a little rundown. Nice,
it's lovely. I mean, I'm a bit of a wuss when it comes to beer drinking, really.
Okay,
so Desperado's perfect because it's got that sweet kick.
Yeah,
it's a girl's drink, really.
Basically,
we'll have a couple, and then you'll end up down Batchwood on a Thursday night.
It's 5.9
Batchwood on a Thursday night. Do you remember that?
Amazing times.
Right, before we get into all of that, tell us a bit about yourself, Leon. Who you are, how old you are, what you do, things like that.
Okay, so I just, as Dave said earlier, I turned 40 just before Christmas. I've got two children. I've got a 14-year-old girl and a 5-year-old girl. Yeah, so I work for a large IT company called Computer Center. My job title is I'm an operations manager.
Nice.
Working in engineering, covering the UK.
Wonderful.
So basically what I do is manage IT project managers, IT experts across the UK.
So is it all like super geekism, or is it normal people?
But this is the thing, right? People think just because I work in IT and I've got an IT job, like that I'm amazing at IT. And as you guys see, I had trouble logging into Zoom earlier.
Yeah,
you
so... did. It's not...
Sorry about my lack of input here. I've just had to... My son just walked in and shot me in the back of the neck with a fucking Nerf gun.
Brilliant.
Let's get down to it. The thing that I wanted to talk about early on for this week is... bless her heart, she's been in the media again all of this week, and that is the lovely Caroline Flack. We celebrated, not really celebrated, but it was a year of her passing on the 15th of February, which when this comes out will be a week or two gone. But it's just rough. It just brings it all back home. Now, yeah. I know Al, that I've spoken to you about it. Leon, we haven't spoken so much, but it really affected me and Kelly when Caroline passed. She was a fantastic girl, and you really got that feeling from the British public that everybody knew her.
Yeah.
And it brings up this whole thing again about trolling, the thing that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, and what a horrible thing it is to do to people. What's your take on it, Leon?
It's just awful, isn't it? And a huge, huge waste of life that somebody can get in a position where they feel that that's the only way out.
Yeah.
And I mean, she must have been feeling so strongly, because I know there was a bit going on with her in the media, wasn't there, about her what happened with her boyfriend and stuff. And just the fact that she could see that was her only option, and she was so scared of that media backlash.
The thing is, like you say, feeling that so afraid of it. Like I'm nowhere near to Caroline Flack's level of exposure, but even from the small bit of exposure that I get off the videos, like I can't handle the microanalysts of like scrutinizing me and looking at me and saying the comments they make to me online. So to someone like that, who's got a mass following, who knows the next day that she's going to wake up and see her name passed across the papers, I can understand why she did what she did. I really can. Like, I must admit, I've become close, but I've never really thought about it. And if they've been that hardened by a troll that I've gone, I can't take this because I don't want to see another message. Mm. But I do get that sort of anxiety based around like not when to pick up your phone and look at your phone because you're too scared of what you're going to see.
Yeah, and it's like I said to you, mate, the objects in her life and how successful she was and the financial benefits she got from her job and stuff like that, really that comes down to nothing.
Yeah.
Because words hurt. And no matter who anybody is, you got to be a super strong person to say that words don't hurt when they're aimed at you about personal things and stuff like that.
I think it shows as well how far like the talk around mental health has come, because look, like you've known Leon a long time. I've known him for about 15 years now. We wouldn't have been having a conversation about mental health 15 years ago in the pub.
Absolutely no way. It's like what I said to you, Al. It's about these characters that we all put on to our friends, even to our friends. I mean, I've been out drinking with both of you on nights out, and I've been out drinking with each of you separately. But you don't tell each other enough. All right, maybe we do more now because of the age we are, and I guess the roads that we've walked down together, but we never would have back in the day.
Do you not think though, if people could sort of speak more openly about it like we are now, that the younger generation would adapt this mentality that we've got now as we're older?
Yeah, and I think that there'll be an element of don't say things like that to people. Don't talk to people like that.
Well, in a world where you can be anything, be kind.
Yeah, and what a great sentiment that is. It's just such a resounding statement to make throughout the entire world. If you can't be anything, but be kind. And I mean, like, we've all got kids, and who brings their kids up to be bastards? Nobody does. You want nice human beings. You want to be proud of your children. You don't want them to be hurting someone like that.
I
saw a really good thing. Now, I'll rip through it pretty quickly because it's quite a visual thing to show your kids, right? So if your kid is ever horrible to anybody and you know that they've said something nasty, you give them a piece of paper, and everything that they've said nasty, they screw that piece of paper up into a ball, right? Till it's so tight. And then you ask them to say sorry. And when they say sorry, they flatten the piece of paper back out, right? So they end up again with a flat piece of paper. You got that image in your head? Yeah. And then you say to them, do you think that that's made it better? And your kids will naturally say yes. But you can see all those creases on those piece of paper, and those creases will now never go away.
Yeah, I
think that is such a massive thing to teach your kids. It don't matter if you say sorry to somebody. Yeah. You shouldn't have done it in the first place, because it ain't ever going to go away. We've had it with my eldest daughter. She wasn't very nice to someone a little while ago. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, you know my girl. She's not like that.
Yeah, she was sweet.
Yeah, she loves doing TikToks with her Uncle Leon. Yeah. But she wasn't very nice to somebody, and we found out about it, and she was so sorry. But we used that analogy on her that it won't go away. That person will feel that for a very long time.
So speaking more about like male depression and stuff like that, obviously this is a mental health podcast, and we wouldn't be getting Leon on if we weren't going to talk about our own experiences. Now, I've never had the conversation with you, Leon, around mental health. Like, we got to know each other playing football on a Monday night, And we always used to have, we used to have great laughs and banter and alpha offs and everything like that. And I remember every time you used to turn up to football, they'd all, you'd, like, you'd turn up with a massive gun in your face. You never looked like your sort of gaze would ever suffer. And that's what I get a lot from people. Like they always say, like, I could never picture you ever suffering from mental health. So what age were you when you started realizing that, like, you could potentially be going down a slope of suffering from your mental health?
See, this is the funny thing. At the time, like, when I look back on myself now, I know that there's been certain stages of my life that I was suffering, but I didn't necessarily know it at the time. So I think possibly in my sort of late teens.
Oh, really? That early?
Yeah. But some of that is born out of obviously circumstances at home and things that obviously happened to you. So looking back, I remember myself as sort of the third person. Remember myself just being a lost young kid.
It's like I remember growing up, and I always knew I was different. I always knew I acted differently and responded differently to other people. Like, people get pissed off or upset or hurt by something, but to me, it just affected me more. But I'd always mask that with comedy, you know, like you as well, because I know your personality. You're a funny guy. You like to make people laugh and have a joke and that, but not in that sort of, I've got to be the largest alpha in the room, which I'd like to think I'm like that as well. So I can relate to that, definitely.
Growing up with Leon, you would have never, ever have got that. And that's where I come back to this whole character scenario. Leon... being at primary school, I mean, being at senior school, so we went to the same senior school together. Leon was the ultimate boy. He's a good-looking lad. No, listen, seriously, mate, you know that.
I'm signing off.
Do you know what? I've got to applaud you there for your tactical mute of the mic and burp. Not letting you get away with that one.
But Leon was a good-looking lad at school, right? He was really good at football. All the girls loved Leon, and all the boys wanted to be Leon. So to hear,
Dave,
shut up, man! You know that. Like, we had a good year at school, but you must have realised how popular you were at school, and you were the comical genius that you tend to sometimes be now. Occasionally,
I don't know. I was probably too immature to.
You were really confident as a kid as well.
I think that popularity at school can ruin you in your later life, because I was very popular at school. I was a class clown. I used to make people laugh. People wanted to be around me. And then when you come out of school and you haven't got that, it's like, that's then your sort of goal. Like, you've got, and you think that's how you get people to like gravitate to you.
I struggle coming out of school, coming out of that school life. Anybody listening out there in Welling Garden City that went to sixth form with me, you know that I just went into that sixth form because I wanted to carry on playing football in the school team, and I like to play pool all day in the common room. That was literally why I was there. I didn't really have any purpose. And obviously, stuff going on at home, it was my sanctuary. Any teachers from, I think Mr. Folder once said to me, told my mum that the only reason that Leon is in the sixth form is to shield himself from the world. So, and I think Mr. Folder picked up on certain things, you know, in that I didn't want to get out into that world. I was probably scared.
Wait, so when you say there, like, things going on at home, like what was not specifically, but like what was going on
I don't want to say some massive sob story, you know, I haven't had it as hard as other people, but it's my story. So yeah, it was basically, so I was quite privileged with my parents. My dad had quite a good job. He did really well up until about the age of 9, when my parents split up, and then everything changed, and that was tough. So I went to Sherwoodswood School for a while, which is obviously a private school. And then when my parents...
I never knew that.
Yeah, because I was going to private school, parents split up, and...
you put me in a very difficult position here, because obviously this could look like if I'm bullying you now, if I start banting you off about that. Private school boy.
Funnily enough, I've never mentioned it in the middle of a football pitch, mate, so.
I went to private school, you know. Don't tackle me.
That's private school.
Wait to get out. next time we're in the 12 pins and I've got a spare ticket for the Arsenal, I'm going to tell everyone you went to a private school.
Yes, not a chance.
Carry on, pal.
So that was the adjustment, coming out of private into normal, going from a sort of privileged lifestyle to not having very much, really. My dad's business went down the Swanee. but my parents had a messy breakup. Like,
And look, you're talking about mum and dad there. There's actually quite a key factor as well, isn't there? That your mum and dad didn't just separate. Your dad moved away, didn't he? Where did he go?
He went to America.
Yeah.
In his wisdom, he kind of left me at a stage in my life when I needed him most. But the issue is, I'm not having a go at your dad if you're ever listening. But the problem is, I don't think he realised at the time how much I needed him. And in his wisdom, I think he could still communicate with a young teenage boy whilst he was in America and I was over here.
How old were you, Leon, when he left? Sorry,
I was sort of early teens.
Yeah, see, I was about 7 when my dad left for America, so exactly the same situation. And it's weird that you say that then, when like I don't want you to, like, almost like you're masking his emotion. You're worried that he might hear it and think that you're having a pop. Like, that's how I feel when I talk about the way my dad left. But at the end of the day, he left. Like, it's only like last weekend I was speaking to my mum, and she's saying that I used to wake up in like night terrors screaming, like saying, like, where's my dad, when I was like 9-10 years old, which was like thinking about now, like putting my kid through that would be horrendous.
But how do you both ever get closure on that? I mean, I've never been in that situation.
I've never have. Don't know about you, Leon.
Never have. I've just come to the stage of my life where it's best to look forward. You know, because you can only look forward, never back. And a lot where I'm sort of, when I'm low on my mental health, I often dwell on the past.
Yeah, same.
So I just have to tell myself that you just feel in a certain way. Just look forward. You've got so much to look forward to. You know, I'm in a great position now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't really want for more, to be honest. In my
it comes back, like, in, and you know, I'm proud enough to say I've received counselling over the years. More recently, in the last year, I've had counselling, and I kind of have gone through life of trying to, and again, like, you sound exactly the same as me, get people to gravitate to you by being funny, because it's that fear of abandonment. Because you think that if you don't get people to like you, make, you know, find you funny for whatever reason, that they're gonna go, and that stays with you for your adult life. And I've never been able to shake that off. Like, I have situations with friends now where if one of them dogs me or does me wrong, I won't tell them. Like, for example, if all three of us had agreed to meet up tomorrow for a beer, and then you two decided, oh, do you know what, like, we don't want to do it. So you text and say, like, we don't want to do it. And then all of a sudden you get a second idea, but you've already told me no. And then I find out you two have gone for a beer. This is what goes through my head.
That is what, yeah. I mean, even doing stuff with a podcast with you, you overthink so much.
But I can't help that, because it's that fear that I'm... Okay, so are they cancelling because they're trying to drop me out? It's that fear of abandonment. And I don't know about you, Leon, but has that carried you through your life a little bit? Like,
absolutely. I look back now and I should have said certain things to certain people at certain time, but I used to... Everybody always says to me, you've always got a smile on your face. And it was just to kind of... It was just to mask and just to fit in, because I desperately wanted to fit in with people. Desperately, have always, all through my life, I've been a people pleaser. Always want people to like me.
Exactly the same, mate.
You know?
And that's really interesting, because I was going to say, do both of you, I mean, we all have an element of being funny against each of us. We all like a joke and a laugh. But do you think you both wear the comedy as a comfort blanket, as a shield to protect you both?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. I always find myself, you know, in any group of friends, wanting to be that guy.
Yeah,
you know, wanting to be that guy to make people laugh. I mean, because fundamentally, I think it makes me feel better when I make other people laugh. So it's probably even a selfish thing, you know.
And you feel like people want to be around you, like, and it's weird, because normally in a situation where you've got two people who are exactly the same, like me and Leon have the same personality traits, you clash. But I've never found that. Like, we banter and vibe off each other. That we've had that in the past, but you do find it occasionally with other people who are just narcissists. I think that's the best way of putting it. They're fucking idiots. Like, they're trying to be the alpha and the geezer, and like, look at me, I'm cracking a few jokes, taking the piss out of people.
I try not do that anymore, and I wish you wouldn't bring that up.
This is why I know for me it's a mask, because when I am bantering people, And, you know, I do, people that know me, I do like to take the mickey a little bit. And if I upset somebody and they react to it in a negative way, it cuts me straight away. Oh, my God. You know, people that are listening, I've gone, oh, my God, I can't believe that I've upset you. I'm so sorry. And then that it's completely reversed with me feeling devastated.
Yeah. You know? I get the same. I get I pick up on text vibes quite a bit and think, oh, this person that's talking to me in the same way they would normally. And I start worrying, thinking, shit, have I done something wrong to upset them or piss them off? And to the point when I start thinking, right, what do they like? What do they don't they like? And I'll go for Amazon shopping. I'm like, oh, I know they like whiskey. I'll send them a bottle of whiskey just to say I'm thinking of it. And then I'm thinking, what am I doing? Like,
I haven't had that. You haven't sent me a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, I'd like some whiskey.
We've talked about the old school and taking it back to the very beginning. So let's go all the way back there. You know that I'm going to talk to you about certain relationships, and we're not going to name names or anything like that. But one of the things that may be quite resonant with our listeners is at a point in your life, you was a father figure to somebody else's child.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And mate, you're a fantastic dad. I've told you that so many times before. Mm. But tell us a bit about that, because I'm sure there's people out there that are listening that have that same role and probably struggle with it. And so just give us a little bit of an insight how you found it.
I mean, it's a really difficult one, that. I mean, I entered into a relationship with somebody that already had a child. I mean, I've not been, up until this point in my life, I've not been massively lucky with relationships, I have to say. And I keep talking about my parents. I'm not blaming my parents at all, but my sisters will agree with me on this. And that the way you act as parents, it sometimes forces your child to act in a certain way to either counter the way your parents were or be different in a relationship. Yeah. And for me, I had this feeling that I never wanted any kids in my life to come from a broken home. Or, you know, in some way go through the same experiences that I did. So I think that what that's done to me is made me stay in certain relationships for far too long when they just weren't right. But that feeling inside of me not to upset the children has made me stay. But the problem with doing that is long term, you damage them anyway, because if you're unhappy, they're not getting the best of you within that relationship.
Exactly. They can see that unhappiness.
They can see it all the way. And, you know, so I'm trying to do the right thing, but really I'm doing the wrong thing. And that was for many years. So this particular relationship you're talking about, yeah, I met a girl. She seemed, you know, she seemed nice at the time, in need of help of, you know, somebody like me that could sort of come in. I saw that she was struggling in a way, being a single mum. Mm. And I wanted to come in and help her, because the way I was feeling at the time, you know, I thought, you know, I want to help this girl. And I spent the next few years doing exactly that, playing the father to her daughter.
And then you had your own.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously certain things happened in that relationship. And then another thing I want to mention as well, that I've classic my mistakes that I've made over the years. Having a child doesn't fix the relationship, and neither does getting married. So if it's broken, the relationship is broken, there's no amount of fixing that you can do. There's no amount of adding items into that relationship, you know, buying things, which was one of the things that I did, got myself in massive debt.
Wow.
Having a child, you know, I'm talking like 25,
I think a lot of people
grand.
Will resonate with that 100%. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Thinking you've got to buy shit to sort of,
yeah,
keep it going.
And it's
I bought Dave loads of stuff, and he still don't want to do this.
No, that's right. He can't buy my affections. But I think that's really brave of you to say that, Leon, because you know what the people that were close to you thought at the time. And to say getting married doesn't solve your problems. Mm. Obviously, I was there at that marriage. I was there when you got married, and I was there when we were talking about doubts before the wedding. And I remember saying to you then that you was too scared that you were going to end up like your dad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I had a child, obviously she's 14 now, a child from that relationship. I never wanted her to think of me about how I thought about my own dad. Right. I spent sort of 8-9 years trying to fix that relationship. I threw everything that I had at
with your ex or with your dad.
With my ex, sorry.
Okay,
with my
sorry.
Ex, with my dad. We've been in and out over the years. It's been
same.
We're on speaking terms now, but he's in his 70s now. Mm. I mean, so but that's just me being older and more mature and thinking, you know, he's an older guy now. You know, I know looking back, he didn't mean any of the things he did. He did nothing on purpose. He just, you know.
Yeah,
it was probably it was bad decisions and poor experience. I would say.
It's weird you say that. Like, I had the same sort of thing in my old man. So, sorry to go back onto the dad thing, but it's like, there's a lot of things that are out of my dad's control, and I do appreciate that massively. But as a father, and I know you'll be the same, Leon. Like how you feel about your kids? Like, I mean, like it, I cannot put in words, and I know you both would agree. And it's normally like you do a woman saying is how much you love your kid.
Like, yeah, I don't love mine at all. They're horrible.
especially when you're from a broken home sort of thing. Like, you kind of want them to not ever go, like you just said, go through that sort of feeling and have that sort of feeling that you had.
Well, it's the pressure of the 2.4 children, isn't it? Everybody wants their life to be perfect. You want to marry someone and spend the rest of your life with them because that's what the fairy tale tells. You want to have a boy and a girl because that's what the fairy tale is.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, the fairy tale's bullshit.
Don't believe the hype. Yeah, it ain't real.
I don't think anyone's ever had the fairy tale. Everyone's had their own up and downs and bumps along the road.
Like. Yeah, and that's a really good point, Al, is that anybody that's listening, again, you're not on your own. I've been married for 10 years. Alex ain't far behind me. Leon hasn't
married. I'm not fucking out of, well done, Dave.
Seven or eight, I think you've been married.
No, longer. I got married in 2009.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I didn't.
Because I didn't get married until 2010.
I got 2011.
Yeah, so not 10 years this year. But Leon hasn't married his newfound love.
Husband of the year over here.
let's go on to your new relationship, Leon.
I have been divorced though. I've had a divorce in there.
So yeah, you have had a divorce in there.
One over on you guys. If this is some sort of point system, I've got to be winning.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you've got all the cards so far.
So I obviously eventually found the strength to come out of my previous relationship. And Dave, you've seen me.
I saw you at the lowest bit, mate. I remember
in various states of.
What was your lowest point? Distress. What was your lowest point?
I think my lowest point.
Don't say sleeping on my couch. That ain't fair.
No, I think it was eventually leaving, and then ending up. I'd put so much into this relationship. I'd done everything that I could. And I ended up in a box room back at my mum's house.
Wow.
Really, really small box room. And that little room just affected me so much in that I just felt worthless. And it like this is cheesy, guys, I know, but I just felt that nobody would ever love me. Do you know what I mean?
No, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised they have. I really am.
No. Look, let's not banter that point. That's a fair thing to say because, you know, I think a lot of people, there could be people listening to this now that would be going through the same sort of thing, especially after lockdown when you've been spending so much time with each other that you've gone into a situation where you think it's the right and it's not, and you've had to go back home. And that, you know, your bedroom always looks bigger when you're a kid, but you get back into a box room and there's that thing of like, how the fuck have I ended up here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was exactly the feeling, how it's happened. And it job wise at that point, I was doing all right, but I had no money. I had masses of debt. And I mean, the bonus of it is I was able to live in a box room at my mum's and, you know, pay a sort of minimum rent and then
£25 a week.
Yeah, something like that. And then spend the next sort of 3 or 4 years paying back this huge amount of sort of marital debt, most of which was on a wedding that I put, which was one of, I've got to admit that my wedding, that the day was one of the most fun days I've ever had. It was fabulous.
I didn't get an invite to that one.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
I did.
I got invited on a stag day, Barcelona, wasn't it?
Benidorm.
We went to Benidorm, yeah.
That was a legendary stag do. Great stag do, fantastic wedding, great occasion. But all
you
in
know,
all,
I remember actually, I couldn't go because I was having my stag do.
Yeah, that's right. Where was yours?
Ibiza.
Ibiza, yeah. Went Ibiza.
But it's really interesting the point you made there, Leon, about feeling that no one was going to love you again. And I think that is something that we can all relate to when we've had relationships break down and you're in that dull period of being single. It really does feel like that. I mean, I felt, luckily enough, I've been married for 10 years, so I don't have to feel like that anymore. But I can remember feeling like that, being in a really shit relationship. The relationship I had before I met my wife was a bad one for me. And it was a dark period. I can remember not being all with it and walking alone at night all around the streets, not really knowing what had happened, and finding a nice sort of response in a friend at the time who worked nights and came out of his workplace at nighttime to spend it with me because I was in such a state. So yeah, I can really understand that.
It was in the time of, well, like deepest, we're talking like 2012, something like that. I think I lose track of the time now, but we were in social media peak at that point as well. And I think it was just a feeling that you see so many people portraying their best lives on social media, you know, and how amazing they are, and this picture of their life. And there's a massive pressure on you as a modern man to kind of match up to that. And I definitely felt that pressure. I felt that pressure. So
is that because of the life? Again, I don't want to get too personal, but is that because the life that possibly that your partner was trying to lead? Like,
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely chasing it to keep her happy in terms of kind of portray that happy, lovely lifestyle, even up to the wedding. Like I say, it was a wonderful occasion, but it was just
sick because, first dance.
Yeah, it was a sick first dance, a bit of garage and moonwalking and all that. But it was just a trophy for her. It's just so she could get the pictures on the social media, really. And then sort of this sort of smoke and mirrors at how wonderful everything was, when really, really it just wasn't. And for some reason, looking back, and I don't know why, because me as a man today and how I am today, I just never would have done that.
No. So, and you're probably at a point now where where you are now mentally is, and like you say, as a man, you wouldn't take that shit now.
Absolutely not. And this is what my partner now, Bella, always says. She just, I don't get it. She's always said, don't get it. You seem so switched on and with it. And how did you let all of this stuff happen?
You get absorbed, man. You get absorbed by it.
You do get absorbed in it. That's right, Alex. And I mean, I saw that firsthand from the outside and saw what it did to you. And it tore you apart, and you weren't you for a long time. And I remember having various conversations and being negative Nancy to you all the time, saying, mate, this isn't right. Like, you're not making the right decision.
And this is a question for you, Leon. Do you ever feel, and let's be honest here, when you've got mates, good mates, because I've had it in the past, and they're telling you the truth, but you don't want to hear it, do you resent that friend?
Yeah, in a way, because you kind of,
you don't admit it.
You want them to agree with you. You don't want them to be saying the opposite.
Yeah, you're looking
stuff
for validation.
Because it's making you feel worse. You know?
Let's be honest. We're being honest on this podcast. I said a lot of things to Leon about the situation, about the other half at the time, and then things changed and they tried to make it work, and it drove a massive wedge in between me and you.
This is what I want to say. Yeah, this is a big thing. This is a big thing, really. And this is what I've spoken to Bella about before, in that I decided to leave. Dave was with me. You know, it's brilliant. It's the right decision. And then in my infinite wisdom, I decided to give it one last shot. But when we got back together, and people from my work at the time will confirm this as well, as I was, that drove a wedge between me and Dave and friendships and everything, because people were in my ear telling me to leave. You're doing the right thing. And then I went back, and in a way I felt a little bit embarrassed, and I felt like I'd let my friends down and my family down as well in going back in that relationship. And then it ended again. Quite soon after we got married. And this time around, this was probably the worst thing I did. I just kept it to myself.
Yeah, it didn't tell me. I remember I didn't speak to you for 2 years. I didn't hear from you for 2 years, and I heard from other people that you'd left for good, And I was, do you know what, as a friend, that I wasn't selfish about that. I was happy. You didn't have to check in with me and make sure that I was all right, as long as I knew that you were okay. And then I remember seeing on the Book of Face that you'd met someone new, and you phoned me to tell me.
I never knew you two stopped talking.
We didn't stop talking. It's just like out. he said, I think he was embarrassed about what had happened. And
I was embarrassed about everything. I was just embarrassed just about the whole charade, how it all played out. Obviously, I'm not going to go into mega detail, but I just felt embarrassed about, you know, the behavior that was involved and how it affected me. And I thought I was probably stupidly, I thought I was the talk of the town, you know, but in reality,
you do in that situation. Like, and I think that goes back to that conversation about anxiety. Like, you know, a lot of people, I have it now where I think I do something or make a mistake. It's that, especially with the, again, like, it sounds a bit arrogant, but the social media presence that I've got, like, everyone's going to know about it. Everyone's going to know what's going on. And in reality, no one gives a shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, people just want to see you do well and see you do good.
I think I've spoken to friends about it now, and I asked them, what did you think? And they said, mate, we just felt like we wanted to support you and, you know, felt sorry for you.
It's a difficult conversation to have.
Yeah.
And people don't want to approach it. Like, and I understand that, you know, you don't want to go to your friends. Look, listen, I've got mates now. I've got two or three that I know that are struggling in their relationships. And you do sometimes just want to go to them and go, what the fuck are you doing? Like, just leave. But it ain't as easy as that.
No, but unfortunately, that is exactly what I did. And I've learned a self lesson that maybe not to jump in with both feet, because he didn't need me to be telling him that. He needed me to be there and to support him no matter what. But a really good point of that is the brotherhood. So we didn't talk for a couple of years, no animosity, no ill feeling there between us. We just didn't talk. Neither of us rung each other. And like I said, I found out that you had a new relationship and you phoned me out of the blue.
Now, yeah. And I did. And Bella really's got to take credit for that, because I always used to talk about you, and I had this great friend called Dave, and she was like, what? And I said, I feel like I let him down. I feel a bit embarrassed about what's happened, because I involved him so much at the time, and then sort of
felt like you dismissed him.
Yeah, I dismissed it, and I sort of stepped away, and I stepped away from the whole of Welling, really, because I was just, you know,
Welling's one of them places as well, isn't it? Let's have it right. If you're of a certain age. Everyone knows the ins and outs of a duck's arsehole.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I'm sort of glad I'm out of that now, but I've met a girl, and I have to, she's going to listen to this. So, you know,
she's not a girl, is she? Let's show her some respect.
She's a wonderful lady. She's beautiful. A
wonderful lady.
She's beautiful inside and out. And then
and you've got to listen to this. She is who my youngest daughter is named after as well.
Yeah, same really? Name. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it quite quickly, I realised that this is how
I named my kid after Conor McGregor.
Go on, son. Yeah, carry on, Leon.
Sorry, I was just going to say, quite quickly, I realised that this is how a relationship should be. And now I'm not shouting about that we have the perfect relationship, because I don't think anybody does. Obviously, you know, you have the odd bicker and the disagreement, but I've never met anybody that is so focused on my best interests and truly wants me to do well and drives me on every day to be the best that I can possibly be. And I have to thank her so much for that. And in terms of one of my issues was trust. All right. Trust in a relationship. And I would trust her. I trust her with my life. I trust her 100,000,000%. You know, it's just a different feeling in that if she said to me, she doesn't say this very often anyway, but if she was wanting to go out with her mates, off you go. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't even think a second thought. There's no going down.
That anxiety would have got you.
Yeah, I thought it would affect me, but it hasn't. So, Bells, if you're listening, thank you very much.
Love you, Arabella. and you've got a beautiful daughter together, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got Jessica. She's a bit of a handful. Obviously, I'm trying to do the the old lockdown life at the moment. I've not been back into London job-wise since last March.
Where are you living now? Because I thought you're not in Wellington, are you?
Oh, I live in Hornchurch now. Hornchurch.
Oh, okay. Nice.
He's an Essex boy.
Hence the fact that he's styling his beard on Ryland Clark.
It does look a bit Ryland, I've got to say.
So yeah, let's talk about it. Go on.
I was just going to say, we bought a house out in Hornchurch.
Yeah, and you've got a very lovely house over there. And you both work extremely hard for what you've got. And it is an absolute honour to see how happy you are and how settled you are and everything like that. Even though we all want you closer, but we know where you are when we need you.
Yeah, so, I mean, go on, sorry, Al.
No, go on, keep going. No.
I was just going to say that part of the reasons, I mean, moving away, I think...
But you were living in London for a long time as well.
Living in
you?
London for a long time, but subconsciously, I never really wanted to come back to Welwyn Garden City. I wanted to be close enough that I could see my friends, but I never wanted to come back because I'm telling you, in terms of my mental health, when I drive to pick up my daughter Reese, from my ex, the feeling I get when I go back into Welwyn is the same old feelings that I used to get, yeah. And it really affects me because I had some really sad times in the lowest points of my life in Welwyn Garden City, and it comes all flooding back as I come off the A1.
Yeah,
it's really strange.
Yeah,
and the funny thing with that, Leon, is correct me if I'm wrong, but you almost want to get out of Welwyn as soon as you can.
Absolutely, and it, like, I've got friends there that listen, and I do, and they say, "Why can't you stop in when you pick up?"
Reese.
And yeah. I'm just like, I it's nothing against you. I just want to be out of there.
I get that. Like, it's nothing against Welwyn. Like, Welwyn's a lovely place to live. It really is. You know, it's a high end place to live in some respects. But
absolutely, as a place, it's wonderful.
I totally get it. I get that feeling about the Stevenage Leisure Park. I'm not from Stevenage, but you know, I had a traumatic experience in there when I was a bit younger, and I got in a fight, and it sort of affected me a little bit. And that comes back to me every so often. I sort of get back into going there. So I can understand that. But look, you know, that's why you make the adaptions you do in meeting up with mates. You know, Dave's met up, you've met up with Dave numerous times. I've took you down the Arsenal a few times, but yeah. It's just, you know, it's just the way you do. Friends sticks together. So, you know, widen it down a bit, Leon. What advice would you give to people that would sort of been in your situation, especially in the marital situation where they're feeling like, look, this ain't working. How to get out of it?
I think you've got to
not how to get out of it. That sounds bad, but how to be honest about the situation.
I think you've got to think long term. Stop thinking in the short term. Short term fixes aren't going to work. You've got to think about the long term. And by long term, I mean, if you're thinking about the children, you've got to think about their long term happiness and not just the next present or the next toy or the next holiday. Don't think about that, because a happy you is going to benefit them far more than a sad you in the future. So think about that. I'm now in a position where I can give my older daughter so much more than I could give her when I was with her mum, just purely because I've focused on the right things and not the wrong things. And she's going to benefit from that for the rest of her life.
And I think something key to point out is that everyone's happy now. You know, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Your ex is probably happy. You know.
She's happy, yeah.
And she's a great, you know, oh, but you'll probably say she's a good mum. Like, you know, there's, I don't want to feel like we're berating her on the podcast, because we're not.
No, absolutely not. I am not berating her skills as a mother. Absolutely not. You know, she brings her children.
You both had a situation that got out of hand. That it happens.
Yeah, I think she probably admit we were probably, you know, I wasn't the right guy for her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, good point. Absolutely. Very good point.
It's never all one-sided, is it? There's always two sides to everything.
Yeah. Well, look, Leon, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast, mate.
It's been great.
I think a lot of people are going to really resonate with what you've said, and a lot of people are going to take a lot from it. So as a friend, and I know Dave will say the same thing, I really appreciate you coming on and opening up, mate.
Look, yeah, it's been great, thank
you. Yeah, guys, thanks so much for having me. And, you know, letting me speak. As I say, I'm a fan as well as a guest on this. I think you boys have been doing a wonderful job. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every single episode, and you should both be really proud of yourselves.
Yeah, cheers.
Thank you,
mate.
Pal.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, mate. That means a lot.
Do you know who you've warmed up for?
Well, am I allowed to say?
Well, I'm going to announce it next week. Next week we've got Anthony Costa from Blue.
Boom.
One love for the lovers. One love. Oh, dear. Awesome. Thanks a lot, mate.
Oh, Leon Eakins there, your good friend of mine. I think that was really good, Dave. I think there was a lot of insights there about just men's mental health in general, and also, you know, the whole dad thing. That really, really sort of, yeah, it was good for me talking about that. What do you reckon?
So, mate, I just wanted to ask you one thing, because I know I asked you and Leon about getting closure on the whole things with your dad's leaving, but. And you both said that you could never get closure on it.
No, you don't.
But even if you saw each other once every 6 months or once every 12 months, you and your dad, you still don't think you get closure on it?
No, because it's not something that seeing each other once every 6 months can solve. It's something that's in the past. It's something that's imprinted in your memory. And again, it's the same with Leon as well. It's situations that are out of both our father's control. And... Mm. I understand why my dad did what he did, and I know Leon says the same thing. It's one of them things that you kind of, you do just have to, it's one of them shit cards you get dealt. You know, you have to go through life and learn how to deal with it. And you only learn how to deal with it as you get older.
It's just another form of grief, isn't it?
And I think it is. And that's quite interesting you say that, because I've never really, and then saying recently, it's like, I thought about it from a grief perspective, because it was, I never saw my dad. Like I've seen him twice in the last 10 years. Mm. You know, he came over to England for a little bit and lived here for a bit. And he's had hardship. Look, my dad's had it rough in his upbringing. He was adopted. He went through homes and stuff like that till he was about 8 or 9. And, you know, when he found the love of his life, she died in her sleep, and I went out for that and flew out and saw him, and he's had it rough. But it's that thing that we spoke about in the podcast. You make excuses for him because you feel like you have to. Like, I know he could have done better. He knows he could have done better, but we are where we are. Like, you love and let live. You know what I mean?
Mm. So like you said there, he knows and you know. Without upsetting you, because that's the last thing I want. If you ever, and I wonder if I should have asked Leon the same thing, if you ever actually asked him why?
Yes and no. Unfortunately, when that conversation comes up, especially when I was younger, it would turn into an argument, because he, I think, would try and protect me from certain opinions, and I would just want to know the answers.
Right.
And when you look at it from an adult perspective, the answers aren't that sort of like, they're not major. They're just the way life and factors go, but you don't understand it as a kid. So in your head, it's magnified. Yeah. We spoke about it, and look, my dad's shown remorse to me. I've had chats with my dad where he's broke down and cried, and we've both cried together. We spoke about how he could have done better and I could have done better. I think a lot of that as well. Once I turned 18, I had the responsibility of an adult, and I didn't have him there. It was then up to me to sort of maybe reach out to him. And a lot of times when he tried to reach out to me, I resented him for it. I played the bitter child and was like, no, look, you piss off. You've done me wrong. And in hindsight, I do regret that. There's a lot of things that, look, the only thing I can say about my relationship with my father is that we love each other so much, we don't want to hurt each other.
Yeah.
Down the line, you do. The relationship I got with my son is, like, he's my best friend.
Yeah, I know.
He's my best friend. And I would, oh, geez.
It's all right, mate.
And I, you know what I'm saying? Like, you did.
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
And I don't want him to go through the things that I went through.
And that in itself, mate, is phenomenal, because both you and Leon are the same in that instance, that you don't ever want to become your dad, but for the right reasons. You don't want to have to put that hardship and that feeling onto to your own children, and that's massively respectful. You're a great dad, pal, and the relationship you have with Connor, it is one of a really good father figure bond, and he is your mate. It might be that you have the same mentality of him, but that's nothing to do with it, pal. Doing kids things with him, and
yeah. One thing I will say is that, like, my dad, he's a good man. Like, he's
a great man. I've met your dad. There's nothing wrong with your dad.
He's. I think he's noticed his flaws, and I don't want him to listen to this and feel like, you know, I'm digging him out, because I'm really not. But I really have noticed his effort that he's put in with Connor, and that's all that I ever wanted, you know, for him to put his effort in with Connor.
Yeah, and I agree. And that kind of, it does make it right, because he has a second chance with him. And if he can learn from the mistakes he made in the past, then fair play to him. And
yeah.
And your dad and Leon's dad, they're not young men. To learn their mistakes and do it again.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'd all do things differently.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely 100%. And it was great. Like, having a chat with Leon just there was fantastic. He brought back a lot of things to me. He brought back a lot of emotions. And I know, like Leon, we're both great fathers, and our fathers as well are great grandfathers to our kids. So, look, you know, life is life. Like, we all do things, we all make mistakes. Like, it's how you deal with it, and it's how you go forward with it and change the things that you've done.
Well said, pal.
Well, that's a bit raw. Didn't expect it to go that way. But look, we got a change of the scheduling this week. We haven't got Ollie this week. We've got a stand-in, ladies and gentlemen. We have the one and only Neighbour Ian.
Oh, you're not going to believe it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast a replacement we have drafted in on a free transfer, Mr. Ian Pearce, a.k.a. Neighbour Ian.
Hello. Hello, 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 boys. A significant improvement replacement, let's be clear.
Hello, mate.
Well, we get to see that, don't we? We need to see what you're going to come up with.
Well,
he's been doing well, Ollie, though, to be fair.
Not to beat.
My type on paper and all that, eh?
Be honest with you, I tend to switch off before his bit comes on, so I couldn't actually tell you. Shots fired. Poo, poo, poo.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
So,
Love you, Ollie.
No, you don't. So we always say with Ollie, do you have a beer? Now, I know you don't really drink, so, but have you got a beer?
Really drink? That's the best joke you've ever told. To be fair, you caught me on a bad night, because actually I'm all out, but I managed to dust something off on the back of the fridge. Okay, and I don't even know how to describe this. Let me try and get it in the camera shot. Belgium artisanal beer. It's called Den 12, right? Not only because you're meant to serve it at 12 degrees, which you might be able to see there, it's also 12% alcohol.
Whoa.
Wow.
Right, I haven't tried it yet, but just before I do, just to caveat this, I've also looked on the bottle and it went off in 2018.
Oh, my God.
So I'm really, really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I mean, it
don't
is
open
dark,
it over your computer.
It is a oh, dark mate. Drink.
It looks like Coca-Cola.
Right, I'm going to go in.
Oh, my God.
Is it like Guinness?
It's like cough. That's like cough medicine. I'm going back to the water. So, yeah, no, I don't have a beer tonight, unfortunately. God, that is awful. No, what? Like, let's plug this beer. Den 12 Belgian artisanal beer. Do not buy. Even if it is in date, do not buy this beer. Doesn't matter if it's at 12 degrees either. It's disgusting.
I mean, it looked like you're having your oil changed in your car.
I've never seen someone's... Your face turned inside out.
All right, it's like cough medicine, honestly.
I've seen you drink a lot of...
Cavornia.
I've seen you drink a lot worse, so that must have been terrible.
I'm hoping it's because it's gone off.
Would you say that's the worst thing you've ever put in your mouth?
Well, you've seen me on nights out, so no. But it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad when it comes to alcoholic drinks, yes.
Right, well, good start.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. So I don't know if you've been ever listened to, like you said, well, you said you haven't, didn't you? But we always start with a headline. Let's have a headline. Go. What have you got? It's better be good, Ian.
Will it be good? You know me. Of course it's going to be good. Are you ready for this, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Time traveler claims she's pregnant with an alien baby.
Boom.
Come on. How ridiculous is that?
Oh, dear.
Well, Wait, you've got my attention.
But,
go on.
Ridiculous, but apparently true, to be just, you know, to be clear.
Of course it is. Yeah,
yeah, this is a deadly true story. And this comes via a conspiracy theory website, okay? And it's not just an article. There's an interview with the lady in question. So it's okay. Very, very serious, right?
So there's a video to go with this.
Yeah, yeah,
I was
a video
about
clip.
To say, all I can think of already is Marty McFly and E.T. So you've got me.
Yeah. What's the baby called? The DeLorean.
Oh God. We don't know yet. We don't know. That's the piece of the puzzle that we don't know. Right. So do you want me to outline the video to you? It's an 8-minute video. Obviously, I won't give you the full ins and outs. Right.
Let's go.
It starts very tense. Okay. This lady's sitting there. Introduce herself as Mary, undisclosed location, can't give her real name or location because she's worried about, you know, her life being at risk because of what she's doing.
The alien mafia.
And then she's sitting there in her hand with a blurred out picture of an ultrasound scan. And she opens with, you're going to see something you've never seen before.
Dun, okay. Dun,
dun. The inside of Alex's wallet.
He doesn't have a wallet, so that's important.
No, I don't.
That's how this young lady opens. 18-year-old studying in Paris chemistry at university.
Okay.
For whatever reason, she takes on a lab assistant role at her with her lecturer, her professor.
Okay. Mm,
now this has started to sound dodgy from that bit on.
Yeah, well, already lab assistant, 18-year-old. Do you not want to go out drinking, have fun? No, we want to go to be a lab assistant.
No, I want to get knocked up by an alien.
I've come to fill your test tubes.
Where is the lab?
So she just says she studied in Paris. Doesn't name what university. So somewhere in the vicinity of Paris, I guess. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, so she takes this job as a lab assistant, all going well, separating substances, whatever she's doing. But yeah, of course, in this lab, there's a forbidden room, as all labs have.
Oh, of course, there is.
Don't push the red button.
Is it down a stairwell?
It's in a dungeon.
What's her boss called? Fritzel.
Come to my lair. Would you like to see my schnitzel?
Would you like to go to the future?
No, this is an alien penis.
Mate, Alex is just sounding like a German Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
I started going into the piglets out of Shrek. Oh, and he wants to be poofed.
He hoofed and he poofed and he signed the eviction notice.
And he got up pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I feel bad. I hope Mary's not listening because this is a deadly serious story. We've just ripped her to pieces.
Yeah, sorry, Mary. Sorry.
Sounds like the alien has as well, though.
or the lab.
Right, so forbidden room, of course, intrigue, curiosity killed the cat. Being a human, she wants to get in there. She steals her supervisor's badge, enters the forbidden room.
Easy
what does
is
she
that.
Find? Yeah, easy is that. I mean, that's, of course, that's so easy to do.
Standard.
What does she find in there, you reckon?
The DeLorean. A flux capacitor.
That would have been how I would have wanted the story to go. No, unfortunately, it's a chair with lots of wires going into it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
What, like a return from DFS?
It could well be, right? And of course,
there's a boss walking and goes, "Ah, I see you found my secret room."
Oh, he paused and he paused and he blew the door down. So the body does come in, right? The professor comes in and catches her. He's angry, he's furious at first.
Also, I'd be
yeah,
I'd
yeah
be
of course
furious.
You would. You just found the chair with all these cables going into it, yeah. God forbid. Right, so rather than just, you know, send her packing, sack her, just tell her don't come in here again, he promotes her from lab assistant to time traveler's assistant.
No interview process, that's just...
Nope.
Didn't have to get references for a previous employer.
She must have been a looker, mate. That's all I can say.
Well, the alien thought so, right? so anyway, it turns out this chair is a time traveling chair called the Iron Mass. Don't know where the name comes from.
The Iron what?
Iron Mass.
Okay.
Yeah, God knows why. But so she gets promoted. She gives a little bit of narrative about how apparently these time traveling devices have been around since the 1970s, and there's been a global policy passed to say that no one can use them. So why they've got one and allowed to use it, don't know. You know,
but she was able to just steal a card and get into the room.
These globally banned devices, and she was able just to steal a supervisor's card and go and find the Iron Mass.
Bit like someone's getting sacked in the morning.
Sounds a bit like Hooch in the 90s. when everyone was trying to find the bottles.
Oh, God, I love the hooch. Yeah. Don't get that anymore, do you?
That got you pregnant and all.
Right. So from this day onwards, when she gets promoted, she starts going, she slowly, you know, earns their trust, and she starts going on expeditions to the future with the time traveling team comprised of military people and scientists.
How many people in this team?
I don't think she mentioned. I think she says there's up to 20 people go. How they all sit on one chair, don't know. I'm guessing they go one at a time. But anyway, they go to the year 2500. Apparently it's paradise.
Not much has changed, but they live underwater.
Yep. Good song. You need to drop that song.
Come on, that was a better. It deserves a better laugh than that, didn't it? I thought it was a great gag.
Only if you sing it.
Logistically, it was actually the year 3000, but I was with you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
If only we had bollocks, you'd be my uncle.
Get it right next time. Then they go further afield and they go to the year 3500. And apparently,
try again, Alex. Try that one again.
Yeah, go on, go.
Not much has changed, but they live underwater.
I get it. Yeah, it's that
finally. Oh God, yeah, that's what it is. And of course, it's not the same.
Mate, you know you're gonna cry,
who, Alex or me?
Alex, that was like fuck.
It's you know a terrible joke.
Looking at you on the camera, you started taking the form of an alien.
Skin's going green, antennas are popping out.
I'm starting to think it's a bit more close to home, this story.
Could be, you never know. She's got up close location. I do recognise her jeans. Could be someone we know. Anyway, so year 3500 is very different. We're at war with an alien race.
Yeah, oh, no.
Unbelievable, eh? And for whatever reason, some storm or radioactive whatever's going on, and the chair doesn't work and they can't get back. So they end up being stuck in the year 3500 for 1 year. They take refuge. Yeah, annoying, a little bit inconvenient. You know, this poor 18-year-old that was a lab assistant, now time-traveling assistant, studying at the university, is now stuck in the year 3500.
She only popped in that room to find a stapler. Now look at her.
Yeah, she's fighting aliens.
Yeah.
Right? Poor cow.
Poor cow, yeah.
We've all been there, though, haven't we? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Well, have we?
No, carry on.
No. So, so she seeks refuge with a human group.
And the rebellion.
The rebellion, fighting the humans, fighting the aliens, rather. And, of course, the aliens take them hostage. And she then won't disclose specifics, but says she was subjected to awful things.
Right. Probing!
Yeah, lots of, I'm assuming, in every orifice.
Let's not say the A word, please. This is,
yeah. Well, by Jabba the Slut.
Unless that's an alien.
Jabba the Slut. That beats my gag. Well done.
Oh, yeah, I think most things do. But given the given the context of her story, she was obviously probed in a orifice. I'm assuming it's the one that gets you pregnant, unless they're different in the future.
What a year. Right,
but yeah, well, she turns out to be the
only
survivor.
That's a good story. I'm going to crack another beer.
Come on, then. What's that?
Tango.
It's a zip wire, Solitaire from the year 3500.
Does it beat a Den 12?
That's what I don't know.
That's going straight down the sink. Right. Everyone else dies. She's the sole survivor. And then it just ends. She says, and then I woke up in my bed.
Oh.
Back at home, back in where it was 2019, she released this story. So in and around then. And she'd been gone for 3 months. Everyone
what,
like,
no chair, no nothing like that? Just suddenly she
woke up in her bed at home.
How many years later?
Back in the room.
So she had been gone in her time frame 3 months, but she'd been in the future for a year. Time so, skewered when
so
you travel, apparently.
Basically, the lab assistant was a bit of a deviant. He locked her in a cupboard for 3 months. End of story.
Pretty much, yes. I think so. Right? But it ends with a climax, right? I want to show you this, actually. Let me get the...
We're bearing in mind it's a podcast, it's people can't see.
No, but I want you to see it.
You can send everybody a hand-drawn picture of it, Ian, if you'd like.
Because I may as well, to be honest, right? It ends with a big reveal, right? Which I said, you know, as at the beginning of the call, it started with, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. Right, here we go.
Is it going to be Ollie?
To be fair, It could well be.
God, Jesus Christ.
The big reveal, yeah?
It's going to be a picture of like Zlatan in the image or something.
Right, can you see that?
Yeah.
Is it me or is that just a baby?
It does look like it's got a massive head.
But they all do, like, when they're at that age. That's just a human baby.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah? What an anticlimax. I
mean, it doesn't look anything like E.T. or Alf from the 80s.
There's no antennas. There's no other obscurely-sized body parts.
It could be Mork from Mork and Mindy.
It could be. The head looks big, but they all look big at that age, right?
Mm. To be fair, they look a bit alienish when they're born anyway, don't they?
So yeah. A massive anticlimax, to be honest with you. But, you know, this is a real story. This poor Mary has suffered. This is in 2019, so this little freak is walking this path.
Hang on a minute.
I don't think we can say that.
This was in 2019, before we had COVID-19.
Yeah, why don't you come back and say, oh, by the way, guys, it's going to be a pandemic. Yeah. It's going to floor us for a couple of years.
Or the birth of the alien child might have brought the pandemic with it.
Patient zero.
Yeah, it could be.
Patient zero.
Oh, God.
Right, well, thank you very much, Ian, for that fantastic story.
Brilliant.
I think it was...
Yeah, much love. Much love.
It was a nice little difference from what we normally are used to. So, yeah, that was good. Enjoyed that.
So, have I got a gig?
Let's see how well he gets on next week, and then we'll put it to a vote. We'll put it to an Instagram vote.
Yeah. Contracts in the post. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing if you did that and then he lost. Oh, you'd be devastated. He'd be knocking on my door threatening to kill me.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thanks for standing in for Ollie. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully we'll get you back on, definitely. We're going to get you on as a guest as well.
Yeah, God. You spare yourself a few hours for that one, then.
Yeah, we could do with it. Cheers, mate. Take care.
Love ya.
See you, mate.
Bye-bye-bye. Ian Pearce. Go on.
Yeah, he did well there, fielding for Ollie.
What a fantastic stand-in that was.
I forgot to actually mention in there why we didn't have Ollie on this week. Ollie's actually had a few legal issues this week over something he said in a previous podcast about someone who owns a gold Jag. So, look, he's getting it sorted. He'll be back hopefully next week, depending what the courts say, and hopefully that we'll get all that sorted, and he can come back on the podcast.
Excellent.
That's a joke. No, he had a few things he has to take care of. Give him a bit of a break this week. Ollie's got quite a tight schedule with what he does for work. So, Ian's there to fit him. You know, when he can. Ian's my best mate. So, yeah, you've had your best mate on. I've had my best mate on. It's a good episode.
There you go.
Really good episode. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good one. Great insight from Leon. The connection that you both made together was really nice. A bit emotional, but that's what it's all about.
I'm looking forward to getting out there. I'm looking forward to getting the feedback from people. And I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that they are... It's got to be one of the most common subjects that we've addressed this week.
Yeah, definitely,
Being a stepdad, divorce, and a non-existent parent figure in a life. And that's not disrespectful to anybody that's got that going on either.
No, true. Right, next week, we've already announced it, but we've got Anthony Costa from Blue on.
Mr. Costa from Blue, yeah. One love and all of that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he's going
to
tell us.
Looking forward to getting some insights into how he's coped with, like, you know, I think it's been quite widely pressed as well that he's dealt with a bit of fat shaming for people.
Yeah.
He's not fat by any means, but he's been fat shamed and also he's had his fair share of people having a pop and, you know, the industry in itself. So it'd be really interesting to find out what he's got to say.
Yeah, and he's a British pop icon. For 20 years now, they've been doing what they do, the Boys in Blue. So, yeah, really good.
Lovely. Right, Dave, have a good one, mate, and we'll see each other next week.
And for me, everybody, thanks again. Great episode from Leon. Great from Ian. Great from you, pal. Stay safe. Much love, and I'll see you next week. Love you.
Top man. Take care. There we have it. Another episode of Lads, Dads and a Couple of Beers is complete. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. We really appreciate all the feedback that you're giving us and we really appreciate you guys listening. If you've been affected by any of the stuff raised in this week's episode, please reach out to people, please talk to people and please keep doing that most important thing of discussing it with everyone around you. It really does help. If you can't do that and you feel like it's too much, there's always the Samaritans. You can call them on 116 123. 116 123. It's as easy as that. Pick up your phone, 116 123, and they're there to help a hand. Take care, guys. All the best.